Hello everyone, and welcome to another video here. If you remember a while back, I made a video directed at or responding to something that Brian Balesic had said about who controls American foreign policy. Is it Israel, that is the tail wagging the dog, or does the US, an imperialistic power, use Israel as a kind of excuse or as a patsy, which is Brian Balesic's view. And I went through the evidence in that video, and I basically think that we've seen enough evidence to see that actually Israeli influence is real and over-indexes massively in Washington. You can go back and watch that video. And I have to say, since people sent that video to Brian Balesic, I didn't kind of badger him or anything, but people did send it to him on Twitter. I was a little bit disappointed by his response, which was basically to try to make out that I was some sort of magatard who'd done an about turn after the fact, right? This is a kind of pre-made narrative that Brian has. Anyone who's followed my work will know that that is not the case. Well, in this video, and I didn't want to let this go, I kind of had it in the back of my mind. A while back, and in fact, we're going back 2-3 weeks, Douglas McGregor had an appearance on the channel Neutrality Studies, where he was asked directly about Brian Balesic's view. And I was struck by just how vehement McGregor was in his response to that question. So we're going to watch that together. Soon. Now, yeah, there's something else that you're all going to have to help me with, okay? And this is a little bit odd, but I'm going to say it because I'm an open book. I mean, I'm a very transparent sort of person and a straight shooter. Last time I saw my brother, he said that I have developed bad tics doing these videos. He reckons that subconsciously I've picked up habits from Alexander Mercuris from the Duran, where I close one of my eyes like this, okay, which is what Mercuris does. And also, my brother reckons that I've been closing one eye like this, and then what he describes as stimming, that is moving back and forth like that. So I'm making a conscious effort not to close this eye and not to stim. Also, it's kind of fun. This is the fourth video I'm doing from home as opposed to the lodge, and you're getting to see obscure parts of the AA wardrobe because I don't have my usual range of tweed jackets here. So yeah, you're getting to see other jackets that I have. Okay, anyway, with all of that said, we're going to watch some of this McGregor response now. Before we get going, pick up a Trivium. This is the best-selling course at the Academic Agency. Many other great courses available. The mega bundle will get you all of them. You could do it by PayPal. You can do it with a bank card. It's super simple. It's all there integrated on the site. So buy it now. All right, let's have a look at Balesic. Sorry, Douglas McGregor's response to Balesic.
Why? I mean, there are... The most important, I think, voice online that says that this is not what's actually happening is a man called Brian Balesic. And he keeps making the point that, no, it's not the tail wagging the dog. It's the dog pretending that the tail has undue influence on it in order to basically, you know, conveniently then blame it all on the tail, right? When in fact, this is a long-term strategy by the United States, by the neocon faction, the road to Persia and so on, these strategies to just grind down and destroy all and every opposition to the US influence in all corners of the world, actually. What do you make out of that argument?
He's never spent any time in Washington, because if he'd spent any time on the Hill, he would note that there is an Israeli representative, an agent of Israeli influence and power, a so-called member of the Israeli lobby in practically every congressional office and senatorial office. He's there for a reason.
Now, this is such an emphatic response, and he also appealed directly to personal experience. Now, this is something that Tucker Carlson has talked about as well. I don't know, I'm not going to have time this week, but at some point I want to go through some of the things that was raised in the extraordinary stream that Tucker did with was it Buckley Carlson, his brother? It's kind of a weird thing, but they went into quite a lot of detail in that stream. This is something that he and many other people have mentioned, which is that everybody's got a handler, a quote-unquote handler, okay? And there are other things that Brian Beletic just refuses to look at. Like, why is a figure like Laura Loomer calling, like, the shots? And why does the government end up doing things that Laura Loomer, who at the end of the day is just a kind of, you know, horrible kind of horror jigsaw faced podcaster at the end, like, who is Laura Loomer? And yet she has got ridiculous amounts of influence over this Trump admin. Why is that? So this is a superb point right off the bat by Douglas McGregor. Let's carry on.
And to ensure that whatever those senators and congressmen do is aligned with what Israel wants, and they are in a position to turn off the money spigot. The way it works is, if you don't support what Israel wants on this bill or this piece of legislation or in this policy, that's fine. We will simply turn all the money we would have given to you for your reelection over to your opponent, because they're effectively agnostic about whether you are a so-called Republican or Democrat. The only thing they care about is, will you support what we want? That's a lot of money. And where does the money come from? It comes.
And I think it's worth mentioning, yeah, okay, money is one thing. One of the things that Tucker, again, has stressed is that it seems to be more than just this. It seems to be some sort of threat, possibly even a physical threat. I've talked about it before, the three Bs, bribery, blackmail, and blowjobs. Those three things seem to be what they use again and again to kind of keep these people in line. But we know from Marjorie Taylor Greene that they're not above just like direct threats, threats to family and things like that. She has talked on the record about this now. So it's more than simply just the money. But anyway, let's listen to the colonel.
It comes from the Zionist billionaires inside the United States. So he's dead wrong. You've got to go all the way back to the 1990s and look at the authors of a document on strategy. It was Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl. I mean, just go down the list. These are all Zionists. And what they wanted to do, this was their argument. We need.
So one of the things I've noticed about McGregor, by the way, is that he's become more and more hardcore, and you might even say monomaniacal on this particular issue. As so many people who get switched on to this issue become. Why? Well, like I said yesterday, if you get this issue, you truly understand that it is the obstacle in the way of getting anything that you want. Therefore, it goes up the register. It goes up the preference rank, if you want, to become the number one issue. That's why all these people like McGregor and Tucker and whoever else who recognize it, who see it, won't stop going on about it. And then they try to say, well, these people are just obsessed with Israel, blah, 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 blah. It's not that they're obsessed with Israel. It is that they love their country and they can see this kind of needless control grid around things that should be representing them, right? So you bet your bottom dollar that becomes an obsession until it's sorted out, until it's rooted and I mean, I remember playing Mortal Kombat when they used to do those, until it's literally, you know, Johnny Cage grabbing it and ripping it out. Okay. Until that happens, people like this aren't going to shut up about it. And to me, that's a positive development. But I remain flabbergasted, absolutely flabbergasted, that so many people either choose to remain blind to it or they just can't see it. Because what he's saying here is a documented fact. Again, one of the things that is interesting about McGregor is that he's prepared to go there right back to the 90s, You know, he's naming Wolfowitz and Perlman and all of these other, you know, despicable characters who wrote the documents that Brian Bolesik keeps on referring to, right? McGregor's joining dots that Bolesik refuses to, which to me is weird. I don't understand. I still like Brian, by the way, as a geopolitical analyst, but this is a blind spot of his. Let's carry on.
Need to gain control of all the oil resources in the Middle East. And then we will have China by the throat. That was the argument. Because the Chinese are dependent upon the oil. Well, 50% of Chinese oil comes from the Gulf. 13% from Iran. But the rest of it comes from the other Gulf states. Is China concerned about the destruction of oil infrastructure in the Gulf? Absolutely. But China's not going to go to war over it. And the Chinese can go to other sources, which they're doing right now. There are other places. Mexico can provide a lot of oil. There are plenty of places to go. It's not going to make life easy, but it can be done. But I heard Brian's argument, and I happen to think very highly of Brian, particularly his assessment on the tactical level. He was one of the first people to recognize how profoundly things were changing on the battlefield. And I think he understood better than most Putin's deliberate and methodical approach to war. Most people mistook that as evidence for weakness, that it never was. It still isn't. But on this point, I think he's dead wrong. The man who is calling the tune is Mr. Netanyahu, not Mr. Trump.
So how do you assess the situation for Israel then? Because like, to be honest, you know, one thing, I'm on a little vacation right now for 1 week in Southeast Asia, and I'm in a lovely little resort. And one thing here that really struck me is the number of Israeli tourists. I just didn't think that they would be able to.
Interesting, to be honest. Very interesting. Let's see where this goes. You know, the main point is made here. That was the real bit. But let's just. I'm trying to remember where this actually goes. Let's have a little watch.
Come here, because actually what the resort tells us is that a lot of people had to cancel their flights, but most of them are from Europe, the ones who can't fly through Qatar and Doha anymore. But there's a lot of Israeli tourists who are obviously able to make it over here. So I believe that Israel too is being hammered at the moment, but it seems that they're able to carry on at the moment, aren't they?
Well, it depends on the individual Israeli and how much money and influence they have. Mr. Netanyahu's son, who would otherwise be in the Israeli Defense Force, is in Miami.
Right.
Gee, what's he doing in Miami? He's at the right age to serve in the armed forces. Lots of Israelis have disappeared and reappeared in Cyprus, where Israeli money is pouring in to buy up vast tracts of real estate. They are buying up locations on Greek islands, and they are in Greece, and they are also in Serbia. So I think you've got large numbers of Israelis who have money and influence who've managed to get out. Now, the Israeli military has taken over many of the airfields, many of the places from which people could depart. And of course, Ben-Gurion was heavily bombed, so Ben-Gurion's not in good shape. I don't know if they're flying out of there at the moment. Perhaps they are. But the point is that the Israeli military was stopping people from leaving the country. I don't know how many Israelis, and when you say Israelis, you've got to be careful, because 2 million people living in Israel out of the 9 million are Arabs. In other words, Palestinians living on land inside Israel. I don't know how many Jews are left in Israel. And I'm sure that the Hasidic Jews, the Jews in Jerusalem that are really very different from everybody else, I'm sure they're where they are. But the rest of the Jewish population, I just don't know what's left. And now you have an Israeli defense force on the ground, the army. It's demoralized. It's exhausted. It's worn out. They're having trouble getting anybody to come into it and fight. They want.
I heard, by the way, when it comes to the IDF, I hear that they've actually taken quite a battering by Hezbollah in that, you know, I mean, it's hard to know with various different reports coming in, but I hear that they've lost a lot of tanks. A lot. I mean, whatever the number is, it's a lot. And that operation continues not to go very well. Now, last I saw, they signed a ceasefire with the government of Lebanon. That is, not with Hezbollah, but with the government, to make some deal to demilitarize Hezbollah. Okay. I don't know how that's going to work. That means trying to use the army, the official regular army of Lebanon, to try to disarm Hezbollah. That's just basically telling somebody else to fight this war on Israel's behalf. If the IDF can't take Hezbollah, I don't really understand how they expect the army of Lebanon to do it. They haven't been able to do it in the past 20, 30 years, so 40 years at this point. So I don't know. It just seems like, they can agree to do it, but it's still wishful thinking at the end of the day. Anyway, let's carry on.
More reserves are trying to mobilize, and people have said, no, I'm not going. I think I think your point is well taken, but I think the situation inside Israel and for the Israeli state and society is very, very serious.
Right, and I must maybe make the point that the only way that I have to assess this is, of course, by listening to white people speaking Hebrew, which doesn't necessarily mean that they are Israelis. But still, I mean, I don't know anyone else who would do that. But so overall, we simply don't know how large the level of destruction also is in Israel, do we? Because of the also kind of the blockade, that the news blockade from over there. So do you think that Israel actually had a hand in the ceasefire agreement, or that Israel is actually seriously mad at Donald Trump for kind of doing this outreach to the Pakistanis in order to signal to the Iranians that now, after 40 days, would be the time to maybe have a break?
No, that's exactly my perception. Mm. Everything I'm seeing is that the Israelis are furious. He did this apparently without necessarily consulting them, or if he did consult them, it was in the form of, this is what I'm going to do. And that's why Mr. Netanyahu has finally come around and said, all right, we'll respect the ceasefire with Iran that you reach for 2 weeks, but we are not stopping anything we're doing in southern Lebanon, or in Lebanon, right. Period. Now they're attacking.
All right. I think the point the point is made. I just wanted to see where that goes. So that's going into stuff that happened a couple of weeks ago now, where it's now the 23rd of April, as I record this. So we're a couple of weeks on. I think last I saw, Trump has the Iranians are saying they're not going to talk, and Trump is just like talking to himself, saying, "Oh, I'm going to bomb you." Iran's like doesn't say anything. And then Trump is like, okay, I will extend the deadline again. It's farcical at this point. It's farcical. But I will refer you back to my video on Monday. Nothing's really happening. And in fact, the BBC did a report. Not just the BBC, all of the media basically reported that the blockade just hasn't worked. I think it was 20, 30 Iranian tankers just went through unimpeded. So look, and also that there hasn't been an actual increase in the bottom line, which is what I pointed to on Monday. And also, as I pointed to back on Monday, there is no imminent oil shortage crisis or anything like that on the horizon, which suggests that the US blockade hasn't really been effective, and that whatever the traffic going through the Strait of Hormuz was before Trump announced the blockade has basically continued. We can just tell this. Some people said, look at the futures market. But as far as I could see, the futures market doesn't really diverge from the current price market. This has been widely, widely, widely reported in the media. Maybe I'll hit some more of these things a little bit later on with office hours. Join me then. It's Thursday. It's not a normal week as you can see, I'm not at the lodge, various different reasons. I don't have a normal schedule this week. So office hours is going to be later on today. Join me then. It's going to be a cracker, and I'll see you next time. pick up a course, ladies and gentlemen. Trivium, logic, foundations of logic. That's the one most of you need. I tell you, lots of people who watch this channel don't seem to understand what ultimate means, or that there can only be one. If you rank some things, there can only be one thing that's number one. This is the nature of logic, yeah? The law of non-contradiction, they call it. There can only be one, ultimate. So it's not a case of both, only one. But many people cannot grasp this simple point. Anyway, tell you what, it's funny, isn't it? There's not like a Muslim Islamic handler or representative in every office in Congress in Washington, is there? That didn't happen, did it? So anyway, bye everyone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.